With fire comes destruction, and out of that comes new creation and all sorts of wonderful things. And I want to close the evening by asking my co-host, Bob Cull, to come and tell the final story of the evening.
When I was younger, I worked as a logger out on the west coast of Vancouver Island. I pretended to be a tough, fearless macho, but the foundations of that persona were built on sand, and in my last year out there, I could feel them slipping away beneath me. Sometimes, it seems like life picks us up in its current and carries us to unknown destinations, and we can feel something, we don't know what, deep within, calling to us, and that we would do well to not refuse the call. Unless we want to wither away to a hollow shell. We feel like spectators watching ourselves do unexpected things. It was like that for me. I somehow sensed I needed to be alone and watched as I bought a used canoe, got food and supplies and equipment to last me 3 months, went to a government office to get maps and asked where I could be completely alone, say goodbye to my lover, and head back into the bush north of the Chilcotin. Solitude is strange and powerful, and it can be frightening. I almost didn't come back from out there. I almost didn't make it. I was okay for the first 6 weeks. I filled my time camping and fishing and canoeing. But by and by, with no other people around to help me maintain my identity, my facade began to crumble. Fear crept in as I awoke to my own vulnerability. Not only there in the wilderness, but everywhere, always. How tenuous is this living, and how instantly possible death. I began to hide and close off from life, sensing the world around me to be a frightening and threatening place. Or perhaps I'd always hidden, but only there, with no distractions and nowhere to run, I finally had to face my own fear. But I didn't know that at first, and I still thought I was afraid of things outside myself. Bears became my big concern. I'd always been nervous about them, but there, far from other people, they loomed large in my solitary mind. The Bigootsik is a dangerous lake. It spreads into the coastal mountains, and wind whistling down off the glaciers can whip the water into waves in minutes. And so my practice was to never paddle more than a quarter of a mile offshore. Sometimes I would get blown ashore for days and not be able to move on, and so I was cautious. But one day, hurrying down a long, exposed arm of the lake, I grew careless and cut across the mouth of a deep bay. More than a mile from shore, I moved through glassy water, troubled only by a long, oily swell. I could hear the crash of a large waterfall on the looming mountain. I paddled on and looked ahead as the roaring increased to spot the falls. I knew I had to be close from the noise, and I knew the falls had to be huge, but I could see nothing. Almost too late, I realized there were no falls, but it was the wind roaring in the pines high on the mountain ridge. I looked behind me, and my world of color, blues, greens, browns, changed to black and white, black sky and white water. I could only run before the storm and hope to reach the land. By the time I made the shore, the wind was howling and 4-foot waves crashed on the rocky shore. Somehow I made it in without capsizing or damaging the canoe. I felt powerless, at the mercy of the wind, with no option but to wait. I set up my lean-to in a little hollow, hung my food bags from a tree, and went to collect firewood. Not far away in a muddy patch, I stumbled across the fresh tracks of a large bear. That night I sat late by the fire and watched it burn down to a glowing bed of coals. Many times I tried to go to bed, only to hear a snappling, a rustle out in the darkness beyond. And in haste, in anxiety, I would lump more wood onto the fire and huddle close to it. until finally, exhausted, I made it to my lean-to and pulled the sleeping bag over my head and pretended that I was safe. But I didn't sleep until dawn cracked the mountain sky. This went on night after night, each one worse than the one before. I huddled by the safety of my fire, hiding from the dangers in the dark forest beyond, until one night I knew I couldn't continue. I would either have to go back to the safety of civilization as soon as I could, or go out and face the darkness alone. If I ran, I would run for the rest of my life. So I stood up from my fire and walked out into the dark forest, edging my way through the trees. I lay down on the forest floor and waited. Time passed, and even the distant gleam of the campfire had died when I heard the bear. It was coming toward me through the darkness, making almost no sound at all, just the occasional faint snap of a twig, a claw scratching across the rock. Terror struck. Every cell in my body screamed out, "Run! Get away! Save yourself!" Only a very tenuous thread held me where I was. The certain knowledge that if I moved at all, even a finger, I would leap up, frantically running and crashing through the forest in the night, and die. My own panic would kill me for sure. Perhaps the bear would not. Eyes closed, I heard the bear snuffling closer and closer. I could feel myself losing it, slipping over the edge. Beyond reason, with no restraint, I called out, "I need help!" In that instant of surrender, I was lifted and found myself floating in a pool of pale fire. I looked down and saw my body lying peacefully in the forest that was no longer dangerous and alien, but my home. More than that, there was no true separation between myself and the world around me. The bear was my family. Just as I needed to eat, so did she. And if I was to be her dinner, so be it. I had survived by eating my neighbors. Who was I to refuse when it was my turn to be eaten? And so I learned, and unfortunately I've forgotten many, many times since, that my own fear is not an enemy to be projected out onto the outside world, but rather, if I embrace it, can become the key to unlock the gates of these walls I habitually build to enclose myself. After that night, I no longer had any need to escape and stayed 3 weeks on that rocky shore, woven into the tapestry of life and glorying in the beauty of mountain and lake and wind. Lost in wonder, I felt cradled and caressed by the whole universe, mind and body drifting in the ebb and flow of nature's rhythms. And there was something else out there, something beyond the physical and beyond description. And I was part of that too, and felt accepted and at peace. But the pain of loneliness never left me. I lived each day, each silent dawning, with only a squirrel's chatter to ease the ache, and looked ahead down the years of my life into the future and longed for a mate. But this fierce fire I felt burning inside called to me more strongly, and I swore I would follow it wherever it led me. Eventually, I left the magic of the woods, returned to the land of people, and traveled with my lover to Mexico. And there, in the chaos of the human world, that bright light slowly faded. I sat for long hours by the sea, searching, but all I caught was the occasional glimpse of the joy and the wonder that I thought would always be mine. As I fell deeper and deeper into the darkness, I began to cling to the memory of what had once been living flame. My lover tried to understand, but I couldn't explain it, and finally she left me. A year of depression and grief for what I'd lost followed. I felt shame that I had failed, and my cowardice seemed unbearable, but I couldn't understand what I'd done wrong. Eventually, I discovered Buddhist meditation practice and learned that the joy of these peak experiences and then the loss is inherent to the spiritual journey. It didn't do much to ease the pain, but at least I felt less shame and guilt. It's been years since then, and sometimes that flame grows strong for a while, especially when I go into the woods alone, and sometimes it smolders, almost forgotten. Looking back, what I think is almost as powerful and as interesting as the actual experiences are the stories I've told myself about it. First, I thought I would be the fearless spiritual warrior that would follow the beacon of that inner flame anywhere. And then when I lost my way, I told myself I had failed through cowardice. Later, I came to accept that these ups and downs were all part of the journey. During the past 3 weeks, as I've thought about telling this story, I've come to see that I began to cling to that spiritual fire in the same way I had clung to my campfire for security and certainty. And in the same way I needed to leave the campfire and face the darkness, the physical darkness, and find freedom there, so too did I need to face depression and spiritual darkness and seek there life and freedom, and perhaps yet another kind of fire. And now I wonder, what story I'll learn to tell myself next.